in Proverbs in this class. And Zach, will you please open us with a word of prayer?
Sure. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you that so far we've had a great day today and we've had a lot of classes. Please help our minds to stay focused and please help us to learn a lot and have open, teachable hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Right. We have been through a lot of classes today already, so everybody stand up, stretch a bit, because some of you have been sitting. Stretch. And if you want, you can just stay up for a minute or two, and whenever you want to sit down, feel free to sit down. So in this class, we're going to be studying Proverbs. How would you describe the book of Proverbs? Joshua, how would you describe the book of Proverbs?
It's a book full of wisdom.
Yeah, it's a book full of wisdom. See?
Oh, okay.
I'll come back to you. No problem.
Yeah.
How would you describe the book of Proverbs?
A lot of wise sayings, especially for the young.
Sorry.
A lot of wise sayings, especially for the young.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right. A lot of wise sayings, especially for the young. And there might be a proverb in there saying we're going to turn your phone off or something. But I've also got plumbers that I've got to be in touch with today. So, how would you describe
it? A letter to the sons.
Okay, it's also a message to sons. And I want you to think about that in particular from this point of view. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. Somebody read that.
The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel.
All right. So the Proverbs of Solomon. Now look at verse 8.
My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of God.
All right. So, Proverbs of Solomon, and he's instructing his son. Now, I'm going to give you two passages from the New Testament, and I want to see if you notice the ironic connection I want you to notice here. Jesus said, if you hear my words and don't do them, you're like a what kind of man? Wise man or foolish man? Foolish man that built his house where? On sand, and great was the fall of it. Remember when you kids you sang a little song? And the foolish man's house went.
Wow.
There you go. All right. Jesus said, if you hear my words and do them, you're like a that built his house on the. And the foolish man's house stood firm. All right. James, Jesus' brother, says, be doers of the word and not
hearers.
Okay. Why am I bringing up those two passages and connecting them to Proverbs 1:1 and Proverbs 1:8? Think about that for a minute. Dennis has figured it out. Zach?
Because for young men, Timothy, Proverbs, Titus, books like that, they're foundational things that they're like, here's information from someone who's already been through these things or knows about these things, and you can be, because of that, here's wisdom.
Yeah, so verse 8, listen to your father. But that's not the point I'm getting at right now. But that's the point of verse 8. Listen to your parents. Who wrote these Proverbs? Or at least a lot of it?
Solomon.
And he's writing to who in verse 8? His son. So imagine, Christopher, that your dad is appointed king. And he's recognized by everybody as the wisest king on earth. Who would that be? Back in Bible times?
Solomon.
You are the son of the wisest king on earth. Would that kind of give you some advantages? Who is Solomon's son? How wise was he?
He was stupid.
It's bad stupid. I'm going to have somebody tell us a story in a minute. How wise does Solomon end up being? He is so wise. He knew all this stuff. People, Queen of Sheba comes and visits and says, wow, all the wealth and wisdom and everything. But later in his life, he's married who? Hundreds of?
Heretics.
Yeah, yeah. What does the book of Proverbs say about the strange women? And what did Solomon do? And then what's he start building? So do you see the irony here? We're studying this book about wisdom, and what does Solomon end up doing?
Exactly
being stupid.
Built a beach house.
And he's my son. Picture in your mind maybe Solomon talking to Rehoboam about wisdom. Somebody tell me how stupid Rehoboam was. Somebody tell the story.
He was about to become king and wanted to figure out how he was going to treat the people. They had asked them to be easier on them than Solomon was. And he got a suggestion from some of the elders and stuff to be lighter on them than Solomon, and they'll be your friends. And then he went to his peers, younger people, and they said, just like, be as hard on them as you can, show them that you're powerful, stuff like that. And he went with the younger people's advice, and basically they chased him out of town.
Yeah. And what was it he said to the people?
He said, my pinky is bigger than my father's thigh.
Yeah. And he beat you with whips, I'm going to beat you with
swords.
And 10 of the 12 tribes say what?
We're out.
Yeah. And so then, who does he send? Anybody remember?
He sends one of the commanders in the room, right?
And there is a slave over the taskmaster or something. Somebody can look it up and see exactly who it is. But one of his men to go straighten them out. And what did they do to him?
Kill him.
They just killed him. So Rehoboam wants out like that. So Rehoboam was a what? Okay, now, you see the irony here? Now think again, what did Jesus say at the end of the Sermon on the Mount? If you hear these words and don't do them, you are a fool. You know what? If you write these words and don't do them, you are a fool. If you hear these words and do them, you are wise. In James chapter 1, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So, let's read here some. Somebody read verse 1 through 7 for us with some, don't just like read it fast, read it with some feeling and nice and loud for us. Proverbs 1, 1 through 7.
Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
All right. What does the wise person do when they're given more more teaching? Verse 5.
Increase.
Yeah. They get wiser still. What does the fool do in the verse 7 about instruction?
Despise
it. Yeah, they hate it. So I'm going to give you some verses here. In fact, I'm going to have you turn to these and read them. Somebody get chapter 1, verse 24-26, raise a hand. Alright, you get 1, 24-26. Somebody get 3, 11 through 12. Alright, somebody get 9, 7 through 9. Alright, somebody get 10, 17. Alright, somebody get 12, 1. Alright, somebody get 15:32, right? And somebody get 28:23, and somebody get 29 verse 1.
Which one is?
Oh, either one. You do the first one, you do the second one.
What's the
you do 28:23, and you do 29:1. All right. So this is on the value of correction, right? So who's got chapter 1 verse 7? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but
fools despise wisdom.
Yeah, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Right? Who's got chapter 1, verse 24 through 26? Read that for us.
Because I have called and refused you. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your terrors come.
Okay. So who's got 3, 11 through 12?
My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects his son in whom he delights.
Now, before we read the next ones, I want to pause there. I want to give you a test, okay? So, how many of y'all have had a COVID test this year? Had a COVID test? How long did it take before you got your results?
Maybe 4 days, 4 days.
Okay, I'm about to give you a test, and you're going to know the results within a minute or two. Okay? Everybody ready? Were you going to take a test? Is everybody ready to take a test? All right, we're not diagnosing for COVID. I'm going to tell you what we're diagnosing for. We're diagnosing for whether or not you are foolish, okay? Now, HIPAA policies, you know, you don't have to divulge your medical history, so you don't have to tell us how you came out, but you're going to find out, all right? Over and over these verses, we're about to read some more. And what you're going to be hearing is basically rebuke a wise man, build love you for it. The, you know, give instruction wise, they're increasing their learning, etc., etc. But over and over, fools hate to be corrected. Fools hate instruction. Fools despise that. So here's my question. You're home. You're not doing something right. Your mom and dad correct you. How do you react? Do you listen and appreciate it, or do you resent it and you hate it? You don't have to tell us, so just stop and think. The question is not, do you enjoy finding out you messed up? Okay? You know, it's, you don't enjoy, you know, if your dad says, Joshua, we need to talk, you're not handling this thing right. We're not expecting Joshua to go, oh boy, I'm in trouble. But we're expecting him to listen. Verse 8 is going to say, you know, you need to listen to your mother and father. And then when they tell Joshua what he needs to hear, how does he react? Is he going to appreciate that and think, wow, that's going to make me a better man, and I need to do that, thank you, and do it? Or is he going to resent it, argue, make excuses, hate it, and say, I'm not going to listen? Now, has everybody thought about how you react to correction? Okay, if you appreciate it and apply it, then you are wise. Wise. Good job. You tested negative for being a fool. If you hate it and you despise it, can't stand being corrected, guess what, you got a bad case of. You don't have to tell us your results, but your results are in. Okay? That's these are the two types of people in Proverbs. There's also the good and the wicked and that type of thing. But the wise and the fool, lots of times, it's about how they respond to instruction and correction. If you hear it and you accept it and apply it, that's wise. If you hate it and resist it, you're a fool. Now, here's the cool thing. Unlike COVID, you can decide not to have it. So, like, if you just tested positive for COVID, you can't say, oh, man, I tested positive. I don't want to have COVID. There, I don't. Can't do that. But you can do that with being a fool. You can decide, I don't want to be a fool. And if you realize you've been being a fool to your mom, and you're deciding right now that when you go home and you're given some instruction and some good parental advice or from a teacher or whatever, next time you're going to listen and see what you can benefit from it, would you rather do that than be a fool? Does everybody think about that? Would you rather be a fool and not gain from instruction? Because they're not saying these things just to annoy you, believe it or not. Why are people offering you correction? Because it benefits you. Do you want to benefit from it? Would you rather listen and be wiser still, or would you rather be a fool? Okay. Now, if before you self-diagnosed as a fool, but after thinking about it there, you've decided you want to do differently, guess what just happened? I offered you some correction, and you appreciated and valued from it. Guess what? You quickly recovered. So, you don't have to stay a fool. Now, does that mean you'll never be a fool again? No, unfortunately, I've been a fool a number of times, and I'm afraid I will be a fool several more times. Yeah, it's a thing we have to watch because it tends to want to come back, okay? But realize what it is, and when it starts creeping in, get rid of it, okay? All right, because we don't want to be cool. So let's read some more about these. Who has 10:17?
He who keeps the instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction grows astray.
Yeah, 9:7-9, who had that?
He who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. Do not reprove a scoffer, lest he hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his life.
Yeah, rebuke a wise man, and he'll love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he's going to be wiser. Who's got 12:1?
Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates corruption is stupid.
All right, let's drop down to 15:32. Go ahead, read that one again.
Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid.
Yeah, whoever hates correction is stupid. How many people in here, we have some dads in here, you don't need correction anymore, right? Because you're a grown man.
That's stupid.
Yeah, that's stupid. Jonathan, you never need correction anymore because you're a grown man now, right?
Right.
No, that's stupid. I need correction. They need correction. Who doesn't need correction? Everybody needs correction. Why should I think everybody in the world needs correction except me? I need correction. You need correction. It's not always pleasant at the moment. Hebrews 12 mentions that. But it yields peaceful fruit. So even though it might be pleasant, benefit from it.
You connected something for me. Proverbs 1:7 is the fear of the Lord that begins knowledge. So if I think I don't need correction, that's pride.
Yes.
I'm the biggest person in the room.
Yes.
But God should be the biggest person in the room.
That's right. That's right. And who am I fooling if I need correction and the people around me are giving correction and I refuse it?
Yourself.
Who am I? Yeah, yeah. Am I convincing the other people around me who saw me misbehave? Well, Scott won't admit it, so he must have been right. Is that fooling anybody? No, the only person being fooled is the fool. Okay? Don't do that. Don't do that. Let's get a couple more of these in here. Let's do 15:32.
Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence.
Yeah. When you refuse instruction, you know who you're hurting? It's like, I'm going to teach him a lesson. I'm going to go listen. Yeah, that's like, it's self-destruction.
28:23.
I'm sorry. It's 28:23.
I'm upset. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue.
If you notice that, do you have friends that when you're wrong, they'll call you out on it, help you, and hold you responsible? Do you have friends who are going to high-five you and think it's cool and support you even when you're being wrong or doing a jerk or doing something inappropriate? Which one is the real friend? Yeah, the first one. Which one may be the more fun friend? Second, you know what? That kind of fun doesn't last real long. That kind of fun, it's like the friend of mine that I went to see after he was in jail, and said, none of my drug buddies came to see me. You came to see me, none of my, there's some kinds of fun that just don't last. All right, let's do one more, and we may have skipped some of these, but we need to keep moving. 29:1.
He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without reason.
Yeah. All right, any comments on that before we go ahead?
I mean, I heard it once said that, I don't remember who said it, that a good way to look at it is thinking, if everyone in the world knew less than me, like if I was the smartest person in the world, the the world would be a pretty dumb place.
Yeah, really. And we benefit from the knowledge of other people. Okay? Like, let's just take technology. Okay? So, you got your phone. There's a lot of technology in that phone. When I was your age, we had push-button phones on the wall with the cord. Now, some people had the fancy one where you could disconnect and walk several feet away and there was no... But most of us had the cord, and you go, boop, 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 boop. When I was a kid, you had to go... And then back before that, you've seen on TV the hello, my bell, give me so-and-so. And then before that, you know, you're sending smoke signals and everything. We're making advances in technology, okay? I mean, the telegraph came along. That's pretty good technology for the time. We build on previous technology, right? It would be pretty foolish for you to ignore all of the advances that have been made and start off from scratch, like trying to make up your own alphabet, right? You know, and start all over. You get information first, foremost, from God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But secondly, with the verse 8, somebody read verse 8.
Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching.
There are several answers to this, so you don't have to just give one. Why is it so important to listen to your parents?
Because they have the experience.
Mm-hmm. They've been here longer. They have more experience. Let's illustrate that this way. You guys are on average, what, 15, 16-year-olds mostly? This morning I was teaching some guys that were like 10 and 11 and 12. Do you guys know more or less than when you were 10 and 11 and 12? Yeah. When you're 18 and 19, if you've been being wise, what are you going to know compared to now? When you're 22, 23, if you're being wise, what are you going to be? 31, 32? 35, 36? 38, 39? Right? Okay, how old are your parents? Your parents know things you don't know. Now, your parents aren't perfect. And we're going to talk about that. And you're not going to be the perfect parent either. There is one time when you don't obey your parents. It says in Ephesians 6:1, say, children, obey your parents in the Lord. What if your parents tell you to go in and steal something from Walmart because they don't want to get arrested, but you're a juvenile? You know, what should you say then?
I don't
want to
go to juvie.
Yeah, you're not going to do that. Say, I need to obey God. That's not right. Okay? So just the same as when Peter didn't obey the Jewish Synod. When they said, you're not going to teach about Jesus. He said, we have to obey God, not you. But on other things, think about how much your parents know that you don't know. Now, they may be wrong sometimes. They may have their own issues, and they do. Your parents aren't perfect, and you're not going to be perfect either as a parent. But they know things you don't know. And it's foolish to think that you know everything better than your parents, because you don't. So that's why you listen to your parents. A robin pokes its way out of its egg and does this, you know, to get a worm. And 2 weeks later, it flies away from the nest. Okay? Could you leave home at age 2 weeks? 2 months? 2 years? How well would you guys do right now if your parents just said, boom! You're on your own. And you say, well, I got mom's credit card. No. Boom. You're out on your own. You don't have any of your parents' stuff or any of your parents' knowledge or anything. You're like, well, I got my phone. Who's paying for that phone policy? How would you, in other words, if your parents just took everything that was theirs and kicked you to the curb, where would you be? That's true. Now, you are old enough that you would have the capability of starting to adapt to the situation, but you would be at a serious disadvantage to your friends who are still at home gaining from their parents' knowledge and resources and blessings and that kind of thing, okay? But you could make it, but you'd start finding out quickly how much you were depending on their knowledge and accomplishments instead of your own. You need information from your folks. Now, let's address this. Are there ways in which you want to do better than your parents have done? If you look at your parents, you will notice qualities where, wow, mom is really good at this. Dad is really good at that. Mom really knows about this. Dad really understands that. Boom, 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 boom. Can you think of things, and I don't want you to say what they are, can you think of some things where dad really doesn't get that, or mom doesn't understand that, or dad has a weakness in it? Can you think of some things like that? Okay. What should you do as you get ready to become an adult and leave the home and start your own family? In relation to both of those categories I just mentioned, what should you do?
Learn from their example
and?
Tell them.
And what?
Tell them.
Well, yeah, you can tell them and say thank you. Say thank you, for example. But in the areas where they've been weaker or disadvantaged, what could you do? You can do better on that. Okay? It's like you don't have to repeat. Like, I would hate for my kids to think, wow, mom and dad are as good as it gets. You know, and stop right there instead of looking at the word. Because there's areas where I'll get weak, I'll get impatient, I'll get grouchy and things, and I'm trying to work on that and trying to do better. But I don't want my kids to not pass me. I don't want them to stay limited to my faults and shortcomings. You understand what I'm saying? So appreciate what your parents have done right and learn from that, and where your parents have missed something or didn't understand something or had a weakness, also go past that. Now, are you going to be the perfect parent? No. Are you going to understand everything and see all the roadblocks? Like my grandmother, okay? My grandmother had a lot of qualities. Oh, man, she was a tough worker. At age 80, when we were pulling weeds down there, at age 80, I'm visiting my grandma, and she says, I want to get these, you know, these certain kind of plants pulled up. And we went out there, and I don't know if she knew it was a race. I think she did. I was hustling at age 40, trying to keep up with my grandma at age 80. Okay, she grew up during the Depression, and after they lost the mule, she would sometimes be the mule. Now, I could have taken her in an arm wrestling match, but I mean, just hustling? I was hustling, trying to keep up with her. So that was a great quality she had. But there were things she didn't know. She didn't know because of her upbringing. She didn't know, for instance, that children like to be sung to. Because about that same time, maybe on that same visit, this is an 80-year-old woman who had raised three kids. She goes, Scott. I learned the other day, she said, that children like to be sung to. She said there was this family church, they were singing to their baby, and the baby liked it. She said, I didn't know that. She raised three kids, and this goes back to the dysfunction in her family and her father that abandoned the family and ended up being shot and killed for his ne'er-do-well ways and stuff, but she didn't know that. And so so she wasn't able to give that to her children. Okay? But then my mom learned things from her mom and added things to it. And she would see other people, she would see other families that did some things better. So you can keep doing that. So understand, when your parents mess up, they're human. When they apologize, you know, be thankful for their correction and pray for them up. And you, it's okay to think, you know, when I have my own home, we're going to have this rule differently. And we're going to do better about this. That's good. And be excited when your kids pass you up, okay? But for right now, don't use the fact that your parents are not Superman to allow you to ignore them. Because they still know a ton of stuff that you don't know. Just like, even though you're not going to be perfect, when you're raising a teenager, you're still going to know a ton more than he does. Let's go back to the progression thing. Right now, how much do you know compared to when you were 12? A lot more. 3 years from now, you're going to know what? A lot more. 5 years later, you're going to know a lot more. A lot more. Okay? Your parents are already up here. They already know these things. Now, this generation, some of you may think, and especially because of technology, some of you think, yeah, my dad doesn't even know how to, you know, use the, and you pick out some electronic device. That's not what we're talking about. You give a two-year-old a smartphone, and pretty soon they know how to use it. That doesn't mean the two-year-old is wise. That means they learned where the buttons are. Okay? Jeff did a really funny experiment at Thanksgiving. You remember this, Lucas, with phone? So he took my dad's old rotary dial phone, and here's all the grandkids, and some of them may be grown, or just about. And he said, see if you can make a phone call. None of them could do it. Not one could manage to make a phone call. Do you guys remember, do any of y'all remember the old rotary dial phone? Okay, so it's like, one thing you have to do is you have to pick up the receiver and listen for the dial tone. And now you can, you know, so they're walking over there, now picking up the receiver. And they're just like, and it's a rotary phone, and they're trying to push the button. they haven't picked it up, and it's like, now does that mean that they're stupid? No, they just don't know how that device operates. Don't think that your grandparents, because, you know, they don't know how to set some electronic device for stupid people. In fact, let me give you one illustration of this. One of the dangers that we can face is the electromagnetic pulse bomb. And thousands and thousands of people will die if our enemies set one of these off. Anybody know what an electromagnetic pulse bomb is? Tell us.
It sets up electromagnetic radiation and all of your electronics die.
Boom!
Instantly.
Yeah, so let's say North Korea or Iran, you know, sends one of these bombs over our major cities, and all of your electronics is out. So your electronic car, your phone, everything. And they're estimating thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people will die. Go back to your great-great-grandparents. Okay? Think of your great-great-grandparents. Koreans set off. North Koreans set off electromagnetic pulse. What was that? I don't know. How much would it have affected them? Yeah, they're still... Because they know how to do stuff. They know how to do stuff. They know how to have water out of the ground. They know how to have food without going to Kroger. They know how to, you know, they know how to do stuff. So don't go thinking that because you understand technology, you're wiser than them. Anybody know what the first computer, it's called the Antithrica or something mechanism? How many are familiar with the Antithrica mechanism? I wish I could show it to you. It's not electronic, it's not binary, but it's from around the time of Christ, maybe a little bit before. And Matt, can you describe it in 30 seconds?
Wasn't it used for telling direction on ships?
Like, yeah, and all sorts of stuff. I mean, it had astronomical, calendar, all kind of calculations. There were about, I think, 32 different wheels and degrees and stuff on there. You could find the sunset, sun time of like any time of the year. And like, it was fantastic. And the gearing, like almost looking like a Swiss watch or something, except bigger. It's fantastic. It was rusted, and they found it at the bottom of the sea, below Greece. But man, it's fantastic. People back then, it didn't mean they were stupid, okay? People back then built things that were phenomenal. So don't get a chronological snobbery that because, in fact, one of the easiest ways to do this is this. So you guys, you're able to use a computer and a smartphone, okay? Let me put you on a desert island. Boom! You don't have your phones with you. All you have is what you have on you right now, and then we leave. How many of you can build that smartphone? Yeah. Being able to push a button doesn't mean that we're the geniuses. It means, you know, it's like we, you know who would have a big advantage over you and me on that desert island? Our great, great, great grandparents. Because they would know kind of what to do. So with all that in mind, look again at verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. What are some other reasons you need to listen to your parents?
Ignorance will make you dead.
Yeah. Ignorance will make you dead. And there's another saying that I think sums up the end of Proverbs 1, and it's play stupid games, win stupid prizes. You know, and a lot of people are doing that today. And by the way, our economy today and some of the stuff that's going on, we're playing stupid games and winning really stupid prizes. It's getting really bad out there. Listen to your parents. I had a conversation one time when there was a mother and a daughter having trouble. The daughter was 13 and having conflict with mom. Mom asked me to come over. I sat down. Here's mom over here. Here's the kind of disgruntled teen over here. And as we're talking, I asked the disgruntled teen, I say, do you think your mom knows what it's like to be a 13-year-old girl? She goes, no. And what's silly about that? Yeah, you don't get to 38 without going past 13. It's not like an elevator in those buildings. It's that number. You know, you got to go through there. She knew what it was like to be 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. And I said, the thing is, you don't know what it's like to be a grown adult taking care of and trying to train a 13-year-old. Do your parents know what it's like to be 16? If they were, both of them were. Do you know what it's like to be responsible for a growing young adult? And so you'll find that out if you choose to have a family and you're blessed with a family. You don't have to get married. Jesus didn't call it. But if you choose to get married, and for those of you that want to do that, pick well and do it well, but you will then find out what that's like. So Jonathan is now a fairly recent father. Ray is how old is Sting right now?
6 months.
6 months old, and he's going to need to be taught a lot of things. And it wasn't that many years ago that Jonathan was still at home being taught. What attitude should Ray have toward his father as he's 5, 6, 7, 8? Should he be listening and honoring and obeying? How about when he gets up to 11 and 12? How about when he gets up to 15, 16? Yeah, why? Because however much he knows, Jonathan is going to know more. And there's another reason why to obey your parents. What's another reason why?
God says do it and helps us obey.
Yeah, that's right. God says to. And in fact, and not just obey, but in the Ten Commandments it says, honor your father and mother. Ephesians 6 says, obey and honor. And it does prepare us to obey God, who is a much higher parent. We obey our parents with the qualification knowing that sometimes they mess up. And knowing, you know, I think I'll do that better. More power to you. But God, now we're talking God, but it, when we've learned to obey our parents, it helps us have that submission to a much, much greater parent. Any comments or thoughts on any of that? All right, let's continue in Proverbs here. Listen to your parents, but don't listen to who? Verse 10. When they entice you. Now, the particular description here, and a number of you have read this before, we don't have time to read it, but if you haven't read it, you might, or if you've read it, you might recall this describes being induced to join in with a group of guys that are going to rob people and beat people up and hurt them and steal their stuff. We'll all be together, we'll all have one purse. Which sounds very, very, very much like what goes on where today. Yeah, gang activity in the inner city. And that often happens because somebody doesn't have a close relationship with a father and a mother, and it makes them vulnerable because they're looking for what?
Family.
Belonging. And then the gang says, come with us. You know, we'll all be one, we'll all have one for, and kind of like this stuff here. And then it says, it compares it to a bird, verse 17. If you spread a net to capture a bird in sight of the bird, he's going to see what you're doing and not fall into the trap. But the people that listen to these bad friends and they go out and they do all these evil things, people, who are they really setting a trap for?
Themselves.
Themselves. So, I mean, if you live that lifestyle, you will hurt a lot of people. But some of those people can walk away from that. The person you robbed can, you know, file an insurance claim or move out of the city to a safer, you know, environment or something, but you're still stuck in the game. And like in our first class today, Tim mentioned a guy that used to come to this camp and then, you know, got back with People of the World, and just a year or two ago, he was, you know, shot and killed, shot to death and killed. So, I mean, he plays stupid games, wins stupid prizes. Listen to your parents, don't listen to them. But it's not just the people trying to get you to join a gang. Think of other things that you'll have friends trying to get you to do. What are your worldly friends going to try to get you to do? You don't have to list them all right now, but just think for 10 seconds about things that your worldly friends try to get you to do. A mark of character is when you don't listen to the people. They may be cool, they may be funny, they may be, you don't go along with what's evil, okay? Don't listen to them, listen to your parents. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the marketplace, verse 29. This is if wisdom was a woman. I'm going to read part of this and then we'll end for today. Wisdom, starting in verse 20. Cries aloud in the street, in the marketplace, she rises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. She's saying in verse 22, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will you scoff? How long will fools hate knowledge? If you will turn at my reproof. What's she going to do for us? Verse 23. Yeah, it's like wisdom is like, here's some more, here's some more. And it's like you can avoid so many bad things in life just by listening to wisdom. You stay here. If you'll listen, I'll give you all this stuff. But if you don't, what's she going to do in verse 26? Yeah, because verse 25, what had we done?
We didn't want verses.
Yeah, because verse 29, they hated knowledge and didn't choose the fear of the Lord. So verse 32, they're killed by their own turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys him. But whoever listens to me will draw secure. But this brings us back to where we started. Remember Rehoboam, Solomon's son, and Solomon himself? It's not enough to know words of wisdom. We have to what? So say it with me. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Hey guys, go straight to the chat. Paper, let's see. I'm doing.